Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. It's a Thursday. We're hurtling towards the weekend. Ooh, baby. Luke, I've got a few days off in a few weeks, and right. we've not booked anything because it
Clifton
just
House?
Seems very stressful. You are?
You want to go Clifton House again?
Want to go Clifton House again? Yeah. I know a slight holiday is going to present itself, but I've not. I just find the whole idea of PCR tests, vaccine passports, just a little bit daunting and a little bit upsetting. And just, you know what my admin's like. I'm going to fuck it up. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to get COVID inexplicably again.
The admin's a pain. A few people are going to Greece, although that's still amber at the moment, so at time of recording, so I'm not really sure what that's all about. Why don't you just find a green country and just go there?
Yeah. But they all have different entry requirements, and they sort of say you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and you've got to take these tests with you. And a lot of them seem to be very much done on the honour system. A friend went to Greece, and he took with him these sort of PCR tests, and you have to do the PCR test, and then you place it next to your passport. You take a picture and send the passport picture and PCR test picture to the authorities in question in Greece. Now, I realise that some of them are done over Zoom. Some of them you have to go in person to do the test. But you could just, presumably doctor the photo to say that it's negative when it's actually positive, or just get, wipe it on the inside of a baby's mouth. Or a dog's mouth, just anything. Just
a
that's
dog's
not you,
mouth.
Effectively.
Why put it in a dog's mouth? Of a dog's mouth.
Write that down on your little
Where's
note.
Where's that come
PCR,
from?
PCR a dog. But you'd be negative, wouldn't you?
You're
it's
absolutely
like
right.
Clean piss if you've done some drugs.
It's an honor system thing, isn't it? And the thing that kind of made it strange to me is when I flew to the US last month, the US weren't recognizing British, certain types of British vaccines, and they weren't interested in the NHS vaccine passport, right? I didn't want to know. What
just
they did want... Yeah, they want a test, right?
Right.
Well, the test they want, you do at home. So you could just report that and get a text message, whatever. All you got to do is find a serial number and report it and just say it was negative. You decide that it's negative. No one else does.
Yeah, exactly. And it is all on the system. But and my partner's saying, well, you wouldn't want to get on a flight if you had COVID because you'd infect everyone. Yeah. And I went, Sarah, are you... partner I have access to. Are you... Like, are you aware that there's a lot of dickheads out there? There's a lot of absolute psychopaths. And there is no bigger unreasonable person as someone who's been really looking forward to a holiday.
No, that is absolutely true.
They are unreasonable.
And people, listen, we can put this out to the listeners, hello@lukeandpeach.com. I would posit the following. People are, human beings in the UK particularly, but wherever I've been, but mostly the UK, perhaps because that's where I've had the most experience, are the very worst version of themselves at airports.
Yes, yeah. There's stress, there's excitement, there's hope, and there's a lot of alcohol, and there's kids.
Yeah. So whether it's every single experience you have at an airport where you see another human being, not every single, a lot of them are either a man who's been at the airport since 4 a.m. drinking lager, a family of kids that won't behave themselves, a family of kids that won't behave themselves because the mum has made them get up to be at the airport 4 hours before for no reason.
Yeah,
people who can't hear the announcements, people who can't get it from the shopping bit to the departure gate quick enough, people who get to the departure gate 3 hours early and won't, you know, it's absolutely endless.
People like me who slam a load of Valium and then can't walk.
People who are annoyed that have to walk through that really acrid smelling perfume section at every single airport terminal you go to. That's me. Yeah, it's crazy how bad it is at airports. People, it's just the worst version of everyone at the airport. Like even like I'm probably the most impatient person I know, and the waiting around is just awful for me. I just can't be doing with it. I cannot be doing with it. The worst ever one I had was, it was when the Wi-Fi I have access to was still living in the US.
Mm.
And I'd come back from visiting her in February. I think it was probably around Valentine's Day or something, because I'm such an old romantic, Pete.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And okay. I was flying back from the US, from Boston. And I remember getting to the airport was a complete nightmare because it was snowing so bad. Then when I got to the airport a bit later than I wanted, because of that reason, it was really stressful. Got through security, got to the airport, and like, because they're so good there normally, because they're so used to dealing with that weather.
Yeah.
But this was particularly bad. We boarded the plane to fly overnight back to London. And it was crazy because every time I got to the top of the runway to start the takeoff, the wings iced up again. So that to go back and get the de-icer done. And it was so bad that the gap between the de-icing and the takeoff, it kept freezing. So we just sat on the plane and then the airport closed. Right?
Would you not sort of go, oh, sod it, let's just take off. Let's take our chances.
The pilot was coming through, he's a Dutch guy, he's really friendly. The pilot was coming through the cabin being like, oh, I'll get you your dinner now. You guys can have your dinner on the ground and we'll get there some dinner. We'll all have some dinner and some wine. And so he did that, which is quite nice. And anyway, eventually, cut a long story short, we actually got out there, got up and we got away, and here I am today. But it was hours and hours and hours. And airports, I swear, they make them so uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I guess they don't want people sticking around, do they? They want people moving. They want people grooving.
They've seen that Tom Hanks movie, probably.
Exactly, the man who lives in the airport, I believe it was called.
Yeah, it was actually. You should have called it that. Everyone would know where they stood.
Well, speaking of planes, Luke, did you fucking see this, mate? You fucking see this, mate? Mental. One of those absolutely demented Red Bull. You know, they're a company that they make energy drinks, but they spend a lot of marketing dollar on just fun. They just spend like, they do like a lot of stuff with like video games and stuff, and obviously like aeronautic shows and stuff. But yeah, this absolute mad bastard called Dario Costa, he set a new Guinness World Record when he piloted a small aircraft through a set of narrow tunnels in Turkey. Now, we're not talking like a big boy tunnel, like the tunnel. As the kids,
you could fly through the channel, could he?
You could fly through the channel. It'd be pretty endless. You'd run out of fuel.
That's underwater.
That's underwater. But this guy just flew like a little wee plane with Red Bulls on the wing, basically 150 miles per hour through a cargo tunnel or like just a normal tunnel that you or I would drive our Fiat 500 through. Incredible.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw the GIF. It was amazing.
He did two. He didn't just do one tunnel either. Like, He goes into one tunnel, and then you think, oh, well, he's over. He's gone into another tunnel as well. And the wings are so close. The wings are in the right and left lanes, the hard shoulders of this fucking tunnel. And any sort of deviation, he would be a fireball. It's incredible. And he's in the Guinness World Record book, obviously. But, I mean, he's the only person who's ever fucking done it. So it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I particularly like a bit about the story where, because he actually flies through two tunnels, after the first tunnel, he comes out into the open air again for a bit.
Mm.
And he was anticipating crosswinds before he went into the next tunnel, which meant that he had to basically manage that as well before he went into the next. It's like, so if you've seen the film Free Solo, Alex Honnold climbs the El Capitan, right? And in the movie, for those who haven't seen it, he goes and has a couple of MRI scans. And they work out the part of his brain that is responsible for fear just isn't working properly. So the natural kind of physiological responses to certain pressure situations like sweaty hands, lack of confidence, dizziness, etc., he just doesn't experience it. And I wonder if this guy's probably got the same thing, because to even attempt it is insane, absolutely insane.
It's a sort of thing you would see in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, it is. It is actually, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and the most adventurous thing I ever fucking do is order something slightly different from a takeaway menu.
But do you have reaction times of less than 250 milliseconds? Because the Metro have run this piece and basically wrote he requires reaction times of less than 250 milliseconds. Now, that's just a quarter of a second. Say a quarter of a second. It's not quite as impressive when it's a quarter of a second, I suppose. When you put milliseconds in there, I think it sounds more impressive.
I suppose, you're absolutely right, and I didn't think about that.
It doesn't seem that good. I reckon I've got reaction times of 250 milliseconds.
I've seen you play football and you definitely haven't.
No, that's my body. My brain has those things, but like, yeah.
Yeah, but your body's got to execute it, hasn't it? He's not flying it with his brain. Actually. He's not Stephen Hawking it with his like... Do you know what I mean? Oh, so funny. Yeah. That's an interesting story, and that was an amazing video. I mean, I don't know why he's doing it other than the fact that he's just, I guess... it's a Red Bull thing and he wants to break a record or whatever, but it's absolutely insane.
Why are you doing it?
The other story you put in the running order this week, Pete, or for Thursday's show, was a band who turned up to their own show by driving a bulldozer through the venue, which I like particularly because it's a funny story, but also because it's the guy from Boredoms, who I've actually seen live, who are a completely different kettle of fish to this.
Right, okay. Yamatanka Ai.
Yeah. So they were a Japanese noise band in the mid-80s, and they used to do all sorts of mad stunts, like use power tools and drills and heavy machinery and stuff in their live shows and in their music. And he went on to form Boredoms, who are a little bit different to that. Mm. But apparently some of the things that they did on stage was he had to be stopped at the last minute from throwing a Molotov cocktail on the stage. Which is probably not ideal.
A lot of wooden venues in Japan as well.
Strapped a circular saw to his back and almost accidentally cut his own leg off. apparently loads of other things before he got shut down for doing it. This is interesting to me because it's like, I guess he probably considers himself to be like a proper performance artist, you know?
Mm.
And a lot of people would say the fine line between that and just being a complete dick is very, very, very small. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. And I would... Obviously, he went on to form the band Boredoms that you've actually seen play. Bearing in mind, this was his formative years in Hanatarash, his previous band, trying to cut his own leg off, throwing Molotov cocktails around and driving a massive bulldozer into the back wall of a venue and onto the stage. So, like, it would be very difficult to get some kind of liability insurance for your next gig. If that's what you did last gig, he says, look, I am not part of Hanatarash anymore. I'm very much part of the band Boredoms. I've just formed them. And would you like to host our first gig? No, thank you.
I also think contextually it's really interesting because, like, the fact that we talked a bit about this on Monday, didn't we? The fact that he's Japanese means it's seen for some reason in a slightly different context, right?
Yeah.
And I find this sort of thing. If someone said to me, do you want to listen to an hour of Christian rock or Christian music? I'd say no, because I'd say it's boring. And it's, you know, as we talked about before. But if you listen to like some really good, I mean, obviously the great Lee Scratch Perry died a few weeks ago. Like he produced this record called The Heart of the Congos by a reggae band called The Congos. And it's basically all about God. But for some reason, it's fucking cool.
It's just good, yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds really cool. Like, I guess, I don't know why, but it's just the context. So if this was some really posh guy, doing this for like Extinction Rebellion, driving a bulldozer through something, you'd probably go, oh, get a life. Do you know what I mean? Or some people might, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, when Otis Ferry ran into the Houses of Parliament and threw flour at the MPs.
Yes, that's but right. Like, didn't he swing off the epitaph as well? Cenotaph.
Yes.
Swung off the epitaph. My ex-partner used to be quite good friends with him. He was a bellend.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's perceived as, rightly or wrongly, and some would say rightly, and I don't know him, as being this really super privileged, posh, rich kid with nothing better to do with his time. And so everyone just fucking says, you know, get over yourself. You know what I mean? When it's some kind of Japanese noise artist, people are like, whoa, What a statement. What I'm saying is you can't just run around doing whatever you want and go and shouting that it's an art statement, I guess.
Yamatanka I disagrees. Yamantaka, whose real name is Tetsuro Yamatsuka. So there you go. What I like about his little Wikipedia is, this one now, all of the different kind of projects he's worked on. He is a prolific recorder of music.
He is.
Some of his artists, Audio Sports, Boredoms, DJ Pika Pika Pika. And under Hanatarashi, the band in which he brought a digger through one of the stages, one of their albums, Take Back Your Penis. Take Back Your Penis! The Lift Boys is one of his other side projects. MC Hellshit. And DJ Carhouse, all kinds of stuff.
When I saw Boredoms Live, it was like about 30, from what I remember, it was like 30 people in a massive semicircle. And he was just running around like a maniac in between them. it was kind of interesting. But, you know, speaking of when someone may or may not have swung off the cenotaph, do you remember when someone put a grass Mohican on Winston Churchill?
Cool. Iconic. Nobody
doesn't that seem
anymore.
Quaint now?
It does seem quaint, to be quite right.
I mean, it probably wasn't, but for some reason, everything, because the world's gone to absolute shit, it just feels like that was quite a quaint thing at the time.
Yeah, and they probably had some very, very good points. Was it a climate a protest? I think it was, wasn't it?
I can't really remember, but what harm's being done? Putting a Mohican made of grass on
Mohican
a man's head, statue's
of...
head.
Isn't it lightly electrified, Churchill? It's the only one that is in
London. Really?
So the birds don't shit on its head.
Because they can't.
Very angry.
Surely the people aren't electrifying statues.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge voltage, but if you're a bird, a couple of volts up your cloaca, that's going to upset you.
Is that why you sometimes see pigeons with only one foot?
Yeah, being burned off by
one of
them landed
on the Winston Churchill statue. Classic. All right, Pete, let's have a break. When we come back, we've got to do some battery brands, and we've got to catch up with some emails because we did hardly any on Monday.
All right, then let's do that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.
It's transfer deadline day. Ashwood City are drifting under manager Sven-Göran Eriksson, and chief executive Patrick Nolan is willing to do whatever it takes to turn things round.
Look, it's just for a season or two, you know. We get them really cheap, you know, 10% of what they're worth in some cases. And, I mean, the sponsors it would attract as well as the cachet.
Patrick Nolan, MBE, stop talking. This is a fucking Tevez and Mascherano player heist.
In the award-winning football mockumentary The Offensive, the thick of it meets the Premier League, and things are about to reach breaking point in the boardroom.
That's the rules, Woody.
Oh, so now we like the rules, do we?
Woody, you can't just move a piece and make up how to play.
Well, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
No, move that back.
Fucking get off, don't touch my pieces, you're cheating.
What, you're cheating?
Cheating. That's an invasion
of
my pieces,
cheating.
That.
You're
Stop fingering my bishop, you don't know where he's been.
It's not... Oh...
Start your Ashwood City journey and listen to The Offensive wherever you get your podcasts.
The Offensive is a Stack production.
We're back for Batteries, as mentioned before, boys and your emails.
Peter?
Do you want to kick us off with your batteries?
We're going to do batteries first. Prepare the search. Yeah.
Okay, prepare the search. All right.
I'm ready? Let me know when you're ready.
Wait a second. I forgot that we do the search. You can just fill for 10 seconds.
Yeah, sure, I will do. No problem. So obviously every week we do battery brands from our lovely listeners who come across different types of batteries and send them in for appraisal. We are trying to build the world's biggest... Well, I haven't finished.
Oh, sorry.
The world's biggest database of batteries, because you always find weird ones in strange electronics. So first up this week, our friend Dave Creasy, who's emailed in with a pair of Carrera RCs. Carrera, as in Porsche Carrera, RCs. I think they might be a new player.
Carrera, just typing that in.
What do you think?
Carrera is quite a popular word in
is it?
Spanish. And I think, yeah, I don't think anyone sent in a Carrera battery apart
new
from Dave Creasy.
Player. Congratulations to you, Dave Creasy. You have entered a new player into the game. Well done to you. Luke... Goodwin has put up a GP Super. GP Super.
Luke. GP Super. I'm telling you now, we'll be in here. What? Whoa! What? GP Ultra is a staple of the Luke and Pete Show.
Yeah.
The fucking GP Super? What?
It's
3 years
player.
Ago. Not sure if this is a new player, to be honest, but it's been keeping me safe for a few years. The GB Super. We've never had a GP variant with the word Super in it.
There
Luke.
We go. Congratulations
well done,
to you,
mate.
Luke Goodwin. And one thing I would say is, you know, it's a matter of fucking course. Please make sure you put that battery back in your smoke alarm, because it would be a terrible coda to this amazing success story to hear that shortly after getting a new player entering the game, you've burnt to death.
Yeah, I've taken down all of my smoke alarms. Got three smoke alarms in the house and they just kept tweeting. So they came down. So now we don't have any smoke alarms.
To anyone listening, please don't do
chilling.
That.
Absolutely chilling.
So, Pete, we're 2 out of 2 here. There's a chance we could go 3 for 3 for the first time ever, because Phil Williams has sent in what I believe to be a truly remarkable battery, an Our Family Alkaline.
Our Family Alkaline. Let me just pop that
it's
in
It's got an
there.
Amazing little photo on it. It looks so wholesome.
Oh, it's like it's a sort of logo you would see on some butter, I think.
Yeah,
Our
I agree.
Family... distributed by Nash Finch Company in Minneapolis. Very nice. Yeah, no, it's a new player. Potentially a player.
Wow, so we're 3 out of 3.
3 out of 3, baby. Well done, everyone.
Congratulations to Dave, Luke and Phil. And very, very well done. And we hope to maintain that standard next week. And before we move on from battery brands into some more of your traditional emails... Mm-hmm. I've got a follow-up from Andrew Burke. Now, regular listeners will remember that Andrew emailed in a while back claiming Chimpanzee Plus batteries. But he didn't attach a photo. So he's followed up with an email saying, guys, I was delighted to hear that my Chimpanzee Plus batteries were indeed a new player, but I was not aware a picture was required. Well, first of all, Andrew, I mean, you could just send any words in then, couldn't you then? And it would be fine.
The boom, boom, bash, bashes. I've got some boom, boom, bash, bashes. Oh, cool.
I've got some venue bulldozers. So anyway, Andrew, you haven't officially had a new player because you haven't shown us proof. But Andrew picks up the story by saying, being a long-time listener, I was not aware a picture was ever stipulated previously in order to become an accepted new entry. Well, listen, it's just common sense. So yeah, there we go. We don't hold your hand through everything. he says, since removing the batteries from our handheld dust compactor to be replaced, I can report that the Wi-Fi I have access to has thrown them away. Not only does this mean that I cannot provide a picture, it also means the batteries were incorrectly disposed of. I ask that as a loyal and long-term Stack listener, you reconsider your stipulation for a special consideration in this incident. In this instance, I offer you my word as my truth. Should I come across the Chimpanzee Plus Plus in the future, you two fine gentlemen will be the first to know. Warmest regards, Andrew. Pete, the best we can do, I think, is perhaps tentatively accept it with an asterisk until we see a photo.
Yeah.
Think of
this as a blank check. And we'll fill it in later. We'll fill the signature in later. You've written the sum. We'll sign it in a bit, all right?
Yeah, but we choose the sum, Pete. This is Andrew's gonna fall down otherwise.
Okay, all right, we choose the sum as well. Just give us your checkbook, mate. Just give us your checkbook, Andrew, for crying out loud.
There we go. Right, Pete, have you got an email for us?
I do have an email from Justin. Hey Justin. Hello. So regarding why sheep can get away with only eating grass, I remember watching some science show years ago, one of the ones by Neil deGrasse Tyson or the Brian Cox that wasn't in Super Troopers or something like that. It actually might have been the excellent Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman, which I highly recommend if you've never seen it. Anyway, I had a segment about this very thing and I figured I'd give you my half-remembered answer in the event a smarter person doesn't email in. Basically, the reason sheep can only eat grass is because they're very dumb, apparently. They can,
right.
A sheep can spend all day grazing and be fine, but not a human. We could technically get away with it, but we, and specifically our complex brains, would require so much grass that there isn't enough time in the day. So we have to expand what we eat to get more bang for the buck, so to speak, and so we can still have time to do other things like listen to the podcast we have access to. Hope this helps, and more so, I hope I remembered that correctly, but I'm almost certain, 90% sure, that I did. Thanks to all the entertainment over the years, Justin. So they don't need brain food. The sheep. They're thick as pig shit, and they create, sheep shit, I suppose.
So they eat grass all day to get as much of it as they need, and they don't need any complex nutrients because their brains are so bad.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
I still find that quite interesting, though, because you say that people say, oh, they're there, they're not very clever or whatever, but, I mean, basic brain function is still quite complicated. They know how to walk, they can jump over walls, they can give birth, they can rear young, they can... you know, smell danger, they can see, they can hear. So it's still quite surprising.
Let's feed them a steak. See if they become super clever.
What, a steak?
Well, all right. I had a nice steak tartare yesterday. Steak tartare.
Photo. Where were you, by the way?
One of those kind of, you know, like King's Cross used to be just sex workers and needle users. It's quite nice now, isn't it? It's some brasserie around the back of that.
You're up in King's Cross. Did you stay in King's Cross then?
I did, yeah, after the podcast awards.
Oh, see what you mean. No, the festival.
Festival, whatever it is. Whatever it is.
And you had a steak tartare for breakfast?
I had a steak tartare for breakfast. It was a little bit... They put too much leafy stuff on the top. I would just prefer the steak tartare itself. Oh, I bloody love that stuff. Delicious.
The photo showed a lot of parsley. A lot.
Yeah. Is that what that was? I just thought that you didn't need that
much green stuff. I only saw a photo of it.
Yeah,
what does it taste like?
I just don't know what they've added to it. I was just like, that was unwelcome. Let me enjoy the egg. Let me enjoy the bloody egg.
We should have got a sheep in to eat all the parsley off.
Exactly, nibbled it off. And well, I can just munch on the back of the sheep.
Yeah. So I don't even know if steak tartare is a recognised breakfast item. I presume it is if you can order it at breakfast.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, look, you have what you want.
But the idea of you, because I know you're on a bit of a hangover as well, the idea of you eating a steak, of eating a massive bit of raw beef with a raw egg, and loads of parsley on a hangover is just awful to me.
It wasn't the best time to eat steak tartare. I'll level with you.
What is the
best
time?
I'll go that far. Any time apart from when you've drank limoncello the night before. I think any time. If you've not had... Have a think. Have I had limoncello in the last 24 hours? Which always means I'm pissed. I just go ahead. And, but yeah, it was unwelcome, the amount of parsley on top of that bloody steak tartare. Terrible.
And that was a Sunday morning, so then did you follow up with your traditional Sunday night Chinese?
No, I didn't actually. No, we had a roast. Ada Rost. Lovely old job.
Anyway, so this is a great email from our friend Laurie. I want to read it out. And the subtitle for this is, what is it about our listeners and ridiculous cycling trips? Well, last week you heard a story about one of our listeners just missing a ferry and having to ditch all their own belongings to try and get there on time. Well, check this out from Laurie, who says, hi guys, after tuning into last week's episode during my afternoon stroll, I heard a familiar sounding story from what turned out to be an old course mate of mine from Bristol back in 2012. That coincidence, along with the fact myself and a group of five mates from the same uni did a similar trip at the same time, inspired me to get in touch and share my own experience of a cycle trip we did from Bristol to Berlin.
Hollabies.
Bloody hell, it's a long old place, a long old way. Much like Liam's trip, says Laurie, most things started off quite rosy, steady pace, easy flats of the Dutch countryside, and lovely locals waving us on or asking us about our journey. The first blip occurred on the German border. After days of cycling, wild camping, no showers and shitting in the woods, we decided to treat ourselves to a stay over at a campsite where we could wash our clothes, take hot showers and have a swim in the communal pool. Upon arrival, a few of our party got slightly overexcited at the prospect of the pool and so dropped all their equipment, slung the bikes to the floor and legged it with the intention of diving straight in. You can imagine that, can't you, Donnie?
It sounds very exciting, but surely you would have to take all your clothes off before you jumped in.
Well, allow Laurie to pick up the story because it gets a little bit more sinister than that. Laurie says, my mate Max was at the front of the run and decided to dive headfirst into what seemed to be the deep end of the pool. Cue the sound of a dull thud, then him emerging from the water like the gates of hell, screaming and clutching his now obliterated nose that was gushing with blood while forming an immediate red aura in the pool from which he stood. There were two little girls standing in the pool at the time, which probably should have indicated the pool's depth, that didn't look too impressed with the scenes unfolding, and they quietly got out and walked away, leaving poor Max screaming in the water. Upon closer inspection, I took him to the toilets where we examined the damage and found he must have hit an upturned tile at the bottom of the pool as there were specks of blue tiling embedded into his very deep gash across the bridge of his nose. Skip forward a few hours, there was no taxi or bus service and the nearest hospital was back in the Netherlands. So myself and Max cycled the 20-odd kilometres to the hospital with blood still pouring for him to get stitched up and then told off by a local Dutch woman for worrying his mother. This was followed by a very sketchy nighttime ride back to the campsite with zero visibility and understandably much pain for poor Max. I never got the chance to set foot in the pool and he still has a blue scar across his nose to this day, which I'd bloody love to see a photo of, by the way, Laurie, but you haven't attached a photo. Laurie finishes the story by saying, this was to be one of the many impending mishaps throughout the trip, including stolen equipment, staying in an abandoned insane asylum, exhaustion, fire burns, diarrhea throughout, which is where I gained the unshakable nickname Sloppy, and waking up one night in the woods to a mysterious man standing in the middle of our campsite. But the crown jewel of fuck-ups happened during the final leg of our journey while getting from Berlin to Prague. Our friend Jack had been feeling slightly under the weather for the last few days, something at the time we attributed to exhaustion and a lengthy hangover. To cut a long story short, it turned out he had been suffering from the early effects of Lyme disease, which after a few days of heavy drinking, wild camping and relentless cycling had taken its toll on him. It ended with him ditching his bike and all of his equipment in the Czech Republic and taking the first plane back to Bristol, where a doctor said they caught it just in time and he was actually pretty lucky to be alive. All in all, great trip, would highly recommend. Love the show, Laurie.
So honestly, some people have such active lives that involve
there's a lot going on there, isn't there?
It just doesn't, none of that seemed like fun. And they saw the easy flats of the Netherlands. Like, I just call that the ground. Like, that's just the ground for me. I don't worry about how
hard
it is.
It's not a bit of you in that, even when you were a young man.
Lyme disease, maybe. No, I'm not I'd be doing that, but I'd be in a train doing it. The cycling thing just seems, you're adding too many variables in there.
For me, I can't be arsed with the camping. I can't be arsed with that. And Laurie sounds like a dangerous man to know, by the way. I mean, he sounds like the only guy come out of it unscathed.
Did he fall into that pool? We'll never know. And also, just diving headfirst into life is a good thing, but diving headfirst into a pool you haven't really seen is not ideal at all.
No, I've seen one or two of my friends have done the same thing with not quite such horrific circumstances, but they've hurt themselves.
and having a bit of tile jammed in your nose. It's just, it's all dreadful, Luke. I don't care for this at all.
On that note, we should probably leave it for this week. So that has been the Luke and Pete Show for the week. We hope you have a lovely weekend. Get in touch if you want to send us similar stories or even perhaps a story of your own. It's hello at lukeandpeteshow.com, the email address at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and Instagram. That's about it, isn't it, Pete? There's nothing else to say other than see you later and we'll see you again on Monday.
All right, then. We'll see you on Monday. Check us out. Give us an email. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Like what Luke just said.
Sweet beans.
Ah, sweet beans.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.